And I tell people this all the time. This is the same thing that happened when they argued about the horse and the engine.
Mm-hmm.
Things change, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that you either adapt or you don't. And I think from an organization, wow, I'm just getting going here now.
I know.
But another from an Ron's organizational ramp. Standpoint, you either adapt or you get left behind. Mm-hmm. We are fortunate that we've lived for 75 years as an organization, but we may not hit 76 unless we figure out a way to increase the volunteers or the members. And whether that's a sense of belonging or if whether that's doing shows that they like to do, we need to figure it out.
Thank you. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
There's no business like show business.
Oh, and away we go.
Here's another thing that backs up what Carol just said. While the story takes place on Christmas, the timing of the movie doesn't really have an impact on the plot at all.
Thank you.
Some even go so far as to say that if Die Hard took place during summer, it would be the exact same movie. Minus exactly. Santa hats and snow.
Well, then...
Thank you, Ron.
That would be ridiculous if it was a summer movie and they were celebrating Christmas in front of a Christmas tree. Let me just tell you that.
It's not Christmas until Hans Gruber falls off the
Tony Tower. Darn right.
Okay. All right.
I can never talk to you anymore, Carol. We're done. Our friendship is
You're
over.
You're dead to me.
And see you the last episode.
Thank God. Thank God that's over with.
But it's all over with.
Now I'm like, it's in my
zombie.
Shut it.
Shut it.
Zombie.
Hello again. And welcome to the Art and Business of Community Theater, presented by the Monroe Community Players and featuring the Green Room Groupies.
Yay!
This is not a Christmas episode. If the fans make it so, that's fine. Each episode, we discuss issues relevant to the operation of successful theater, operation of a successful theater, and how to produce the highest quality shows for your audience. And we sometimes, of course, slip into other topics as well. You understand how green room conversations sometimes go. I'm David Warr, once again, our de facto leader of our little cabal. And looking around the green room today, I see...
Oh, cabal. It was also a name of a 1969 game, which Bob didn't get from Christmas when he was 6 years old. His name is Robert Yeoman. Feel the wrath of the Yeoman.
And now this is a Christmas episode.
Ding, ding, ding.
And?
Brian Burchett Ross.
Ron Roberts.
Kathleen McBee. Carol Slifka.
In no order of importance. And I knew as soon as I said cabal, which was Bob's favorite word, that he was going to come back with that little toy idea. And I remember the game, too. It had that eye.
The eye thing that spun around.
But for a while, for those of you who are fans of popped culture, go over there. And perhaps Brian will make that a theme sometime. Nope.
Okay. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
I have so many themes.
So many themes. But today... I don't have too much to lead in with, but I want to say, this episode should be dropping about the new year.
Yeah, happy new year, everybody.
I want to thank all our listeners out there because according to Spotify, which is only one of the places where you can find this podcast, of course, our listenership has grown about 270% over the past year.
Oh, my goodness. So we have 27 people?
Yes. Those of you quickly doing math, if you take one and make it two or three, you've made a 200% increase. we're doing pretty well. That's just on Spotify. Most of you have found us this past year, and so we're excited to hopefully have a lot more friends join the Green Room over the 2024. So keep getting out there and sharing the word.
You like us. You really like us.
Yes. No, it's a teleprompter.
Well, and we're starting the year off, of course, with just that reminder that part of the reason we're here isn't just because we'd like to promote our own stuff, which we try not to do too much, but because we're out here to promote community theater. I do also know that we're one of the few podcasts that involving community theater has actually made it as long as we have, and with no end in sight. There's a couple others out there, but, let's get out there. Let's keep spreading the word of community theater. I think we all believe that one of the problems community theater has is that we just get down on ourselves too much, and we let other people, including the popular media, get down on community theater, what we offer is important to our communities. It's important to humanity.
Ew. Well said.
Humanity. Well
said, absolutely. Take that, family members.
Which is why AI will never be used to make this podcast.
Oh, not possible.
Won't happen.
We'll have to tweak that one. but no, so we're quite excited. So always happy, like I say, to be here. And today, I don't really have a good thing to lead us in with, but I do want to give the teaser for our review later. Broadway Brian is once again back from a trip in New York City, and he will be giving us a review of Gutenberg. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, may I?
Yeah.
It's Gutenberg, the best musical ever, according to the program. Right there on the program.
Yeah.
Best
from the sake as it is on there.
Yeah. So we'll find out if it really is the best musical ever, or if, you know, if we still give that to the Book of Mormon or somebody else. So we'll see.
And Juliet.
And Juliet.
Or Oklahoma.
Someone chase my stomach. It just rolled out the door.
You know the wind is still whipping across the plain. The question of the show is might be one that might take us a little while, so I want to kind of dig right into it. As we look towards the new year, we're looking into what time for reflection, a time going back, and kind of looking at purpose and stuff. And one of the questions that kind of came to us is membership. Mm-hmm. Now, we all know that there are several types of ways to organize your group out there. One is a membership group-based group where the members vote for the board, the members do the work, then you basically have no paid staff. That's where our group is. Mm-hmm. Another side is to do it where the board is self-perpetuating, where the membership is, if there is a membership, it's in name only. They don't actually vote or do anything. They just see their names on a program after giving a certain amount of money, which if you're not familiar with the concept, just go look at your local PBS station or your local NPR affiliate. That's when you get a member, you get a newsletter. But they're basically going to ask you for money as opposed to saying, hey, we need somebody to run the camera today. Come on down. So there's kind of those two groups out there, the different ends of the spectrum. So the question that came to us, and this came from Kathleen actually, is membership, is it still relevant today? Is that the way a modern community theater group should organize itself, or should it be moving more towards a self-perpetuating board of some kind? Mm-hmm. I've been associated with several groups in my time, and most of the ones that I've been associated with around here, with the exception probably of, I know the Croswell isn't set up that way, and I don't think Toledo Rep is either, but I know our friends in Bedford are. Our Ann Arbor Civic, at least when I was associated with them, was. We are, and I think several of the groups downriver are what we call downriver, the Detroit metro, South Detroit metro area. You know, they're basically, they have a group of people that they pay a dues and they get to vote at either at membership meetings or at the very least to elect their board of directors. Mm-hmm. So you have that kind of there, but I don't know. I think it's a good question. Is really which way? Is there a better way or is there not? And this may lead to a question that Ron had kind of brought up. Does that actually influence how your groups operate? Mm-hmm. Is your group a social club that happens to put on plays because, you know, you have members who are paying dues and get together stuff? Or are you a theater arts organization that happens to put on social activities, generally fundraisers? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, who wants to go first? Nobody? Nope.
I have to go to the bathroom.
Oh.
When you do have members, that's all they want at the time is just to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need to recognize that.
You'll be right
that.
Back.
So my question would be, if I'm looking at a theater group and I'm looking at two different ones to devote my time and energy to, and one is a board-directed one, and the other one requires a membership. What's the advantage of the membership to me?
Well, like I say, with our group, the main advantage is that you get to vote for the board of directors. Hmm. And that really is the main advantage. Is that
so a democratic model?
To a degree, democratic. But like I said, because in our case, we are board-run. but the board is selected by the membership itself. So basically, there's a small number of people who are actually selecting the board. That is the main benefit.
So it's not a big fundraiser necessarily. I mean, the membership
we
dues.
We wish it was, but
yeah,
no.
The membership dues are not something that bring in a lot of money.
They bring in some, but not a huge amount.
And on in a group that does not have memberships, do the board just self-select themselves, or how does that work?
It depends. And generally would be there'd be a nomination committee of some sort that would go out and look for people. A lot of cases, larger groups, this is my understanding, by the way, and so if you think it's run differently, please send us emails at mcppodcast@monroecommunityplayers.org to let us know differently, or our Facebook page. But basically, they may even go out looking for business leaders, for example, because they know they will be able to bring money into the board. So the board's job is really to do the main fundraising. And by selecting the right people on the board, maybe what you end up with. So you may have people on the board that have nothing to do with theater except the idea that it sounds like a good thing to put on my resume, which isn't, or they may have a true love for theater or whatever, or a belief in the cultural organization. But in terms of the actual operation, they're much higher level. They're just thinking about how do we keep this place running, or keep this place funded, as opposed to here's what we need to do to make it happen today. So in our case, our board of directors is a working board of directors. Mm-hmm. They have to actually go out and direct and do other things. But in a lot of organizations, they're big enough, they have paid staff to do that.
So is the RRCA that type of organization?
Yes.
Versus, okay.
All yeah. Right. Now, I'm not familiar with the makeup of their board, but if I were to guess, my guess is that none of their board directors are really involved in any of their productions. That's all been delegated essentially to their basically their CEO and to other people to get the functions, the day-to-day work done for their association.
And in that situation, you have paid staff?
Yep.
More or less?
Usually.
You almost would have to, because I think we've said it time and time again, you're not going to grow as a community theater if you think you're going to do so with just your show's income. You know, you have to think a little bit of fundraising. You have to think a little bit bigger.
So I'd almost call it a foundation model, where the board is out there. They're setting policies, but like say they've hired somebody to actually implement things. Whereas we, being a smaller one, and frankly just don't have that deep pockets. We don't necessarily hire. We don't hire anybody. We actually each take on a bit of running the organization, the day-to-day operations of the organization.
Well, and the membership has entrusted the board to take that leadership role, or you know, set the direction and make those decisions. Because you can't have a whole band of Indians trying to
So to Bob's point, the one is on the surface at least more democratic, because again you're taking it from the body of the membership. Some will argue, but the other problem with that is that you're electing people who may be popular and not necessarily the best suited for whatever position they have been elected to. Whereas the other way, you may even have the board that's selected by a nomination committee that they've appointed themselves. And then, of course, they amongst themselves select their own officers. So, and I've been on boards like that, where basically once you're on there, then the first thing you do is select the officers of the board. So instead of being saying, okay, we're in our group, we happen to have someone run for the presidency. What this other group did, and I'll be honest, it was the Community Theater Association of Michigan, is the members voted to put people onto the board, and then the board chose their own officers. And now I believe that they've moved towards a more model of the board now is going out to find their own members. They aren't dependent on the membership to elect them and continue to keep going on. So the board itself generates it. Now, of course, you get that. Whoever the president is then has a greater influence over what's going to happen, because they'll select a nominating committee to go find out people that the president probably is going to be in favor of. Whereas in our case, with a small group, like a set up as a club, you don't know who's going to be the president because it could just be anybody from the membership that's put forward.
Right, right.
So I like to say that I think there's pros and cons to both types of organizations.
So, and that's kind of my question, because we had talked last episode about knowing your strengths. Mm-hmm. Okay, business acumen is not my wheelhouse. I don't understand big business type stuff. Not that community theater is big business, but you get my point is, what is why do we need a lot of members? If it's not a big moneymaker and the money comes from the people who attend the shows, what is the advantage of having a membership, a high membership, versus just a board?
Right. And because what I don't think there is one.
Okay.
Because what you want are volunteers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, both models, you need volunteers, whether they're on the board or not. You need somebody to do the actual work.
Yeah.
You need volunteers and or paid staff. So with the membership, though, I think it gives you also a sense of belonging. I paid this. I'm a member. That's why I think that these other organizations, like I said, PBS or NPR or you know, whatever local group has, they call you a member, mm-hmm. historical society, whatever, a member, because it gives you a sense of belonging. Mm-hmm. Whereas a patron, you know, it's a whole different connotation. A patron, sure. is someone who just gives money.
Right. Patron is more like a supporter versus, right. you know, yes.
So, but I think you'll look, if you look at the programs, you may see, I think Croswell, I don't know if they still call them members or not, but you'll see this pages of members. Sure. Those are people who basically have given X amount of dollars, and that's mainly the main thing they get from it. They don't get special rights. Now, in our case, we also, the other thing you get as being a member is you get to be in our shows. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone can audition, but you have to be a member to actually participate. Mm-hmm. So we do have two advantages. You can elect the board, and you can actually be in the membership. Part of that we did once upon a time because of insurance reasons, because even though we're covered for volunteers, there is no question that you are a volunteer with the group if you have that membership in hand. Mm-hmm. You know, that clearly gives you a tie to the association. Mm-hmm. But then again, I think it also can build, and I know I'm going pontificating now, and it's Dave's diatribe, baby, because what it does is also builds this mental thing of we're a club. And I've always been of the side, we're not a club. Mm-hmm. We are a theater arts organization. Mm-hmm. And if we think like a club and we're focused on potlucks and we're focused on Christmas parties, not that they're bad things, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We're focused on birthdays, we're focused on this kind of stuff, then we're not focused on what we should be doing, which is putting on plays. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think when Carol said, you know, something about why do you need members, and I think your point was very good, Dave, that it's not necessarily members we need, it's volunteers we need. Mm-hmm. And I think if you don't reach out and get people involved, mentor people, help them explore their interests and different things that, you know, their gifts bring to the table, you're going to burn out, mm-hmm. your people that are in on the front line. And so I think it's important. That's an important part of membership or volunteers. No, and I like the membership part of a belonging versus just, you know, like paid staff. Or
I'm back.
We missed you.
Yeah, with every bullet so far.
So far?
I agree with what Kathleen said. I agree with what I heard from Dave. I think, though, the issue is where we are now in a society. And I don't think, for the most part, from what I've seen, I don't think that the younger generations have that need to want to be part of something like this, mm-hmm. like we did and we do. I think it is more... I think the generations now, and I could be wrong because I'm an old dude now, but from what I see, it just is, what's the show? Do I want to be part of that show? And if not, then I'm going to go out and look for whatever theater group is doing the kind of show I want to do.
Yeah, and that, I think,
unfortunately, it's sad, but I think that's where we're at.
To a degree, I think that's always been the case, though.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree, you're right, in the sense that we just aren't seeing people hanging around after we've done the show that they liked.
Right.
It's like, I did this one show, and I'm moving on to whatever the next show is and whoever's doing it. Yes, Bob?
And also is the internet revolution. And it's also with the internet revolution where they can go on TikTok or whatever, make a whole digital performance
mm-hmm.
that fulfills their need as far as showing off, quote unquote.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's something our generation, you're not that far from a generation.
Yeah, and they're going to get thousands of people
instantly.
Just instantly.
Yeah.
Just because they put it out there, and the way TikTok works, you're never going to get thousands of people applauding you in one of our shows. However, on TikTok, you're never going to get people actually applauding you.
Mm. Right. That's right. And you don't have that connectivity.
Right. But to piggyback on what Bob is saying there, it's interesting to me that I've seen great nephews and nieces who could not tell you who was part of a TV show, who was part of an organization, but they know, because I've seen it. I've seen them throw out names, and I'm like, who is that? Well, that's a media influencer. Well, that's a huge TikToker. Because that's where all their focus is now.
That's where the money is right now.
Ron?
So, to piggyback off of what you said, I'm going to play devil's advocate for a minute.
Oh, I like that.
Am I too close?
No, you're fine.
You had mentioned how it could be a generational thing and that the younger generation doesn't need it. Do we welcome them? I think if we all think back to when we first started with any group, maybe this one, maybe, did we feel welcome when we were first here? And I'm not saying that you roll out the red carpet and make everybody, oh, hey, blah, 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 but there's differences in generations. And I think that, again, the point that you just made, and I love you, but how nobody, they couldn't name the people on the TV shows you used to watch. Well, guess what? We're old.
I know. I said that.
You know, I think that's the point is that things change.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure if podcasts existed in the 60s and 70s, could you imagine what they were talking about? Bill, can you believe that rock and roll that's going on right now? Wow, that sounds like
the
garbage.
The transition between burlesque and radio, and then from radio to television.
To TV,
you know,
TV and movies.
My industry, we're dealing with it right now. Electrification of vehicles, and we're going to get rid of the internal combustion. You would think that the world was going to end. These people are still going to have jobs.
It will if they don't.
But, you know, they're still going to have jobs, but they're going to be building a different engine. And I tell people this all the time. This is the same thing that happened when they argued about the horse and the engine.
Mm-hmm.
Things change. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that you either adapt or you don't. And I think from an organization, I'm just getting going here now.
I know.
But
another
from an organizational standpoint, you either adapt or you get left behind. Mm-hmm. We are fortunate that we've lived for 75 years as an organization, but we may not hit 76 unless we figure out a way to increase the volunteers or the members. And whether that's a sense of belonging or whether that's doing shows that they like to do, we need to figure it out.
Because
if we don't, somebody else will.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And then
someone else has.
Well, yeah, somebody already has.
Can I respond to his response?
Rebuttal.
Sure.
My rebuttal to that is I know I'm old, Ron, okay? I know it. Thank you, sir.
It's time to embrace the age.
But I want to answer the other question with our group in particular. Do we accept people right away? Do we make them feel welcome? I believe as long as they've seen the producers.
Oh, gosh.
As long as they've seen the producers, we'll welcome them.
Yeah, let me take you to my very first players meeting in September of 2023. I was asked no fewer than 10 times at the very first meeting I went to, did you see the producers? Did you see the producers? Did you see the producers?
What year?
Yeah.
2013.
2013.
Oh, I thought you said
2023.
No, so, wait a minute. Yeah. You've been around longer than that.
2013. And I had not seen the producers, and I felt I would never be welcome in this group. I will never fit in here.
Thank God Mary Poppins years, came along. You know.
But I think that that's where, you know, the club mentality, to me, is what holds the group organizations back.
Agreed.
Because what you do then is it becomes of what you're familiar with, what you're comfortable with, which is great. But you also have to understand that you've got to break out, because eventually that club is going to be one person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how much fun? Well, no, never mind.
Yeah. Well, but don't you think also that, don't you think that this, what you're saying actually kind of ties into our last episode with you know, the club mentality, and then that leads to the, but this is the way I want the club to be, so it's got to be this way.
This is what we did. This is what we've always done. It's always worked. Let's advertise in the newspaper.
Well, you know, we've been around for 75 years, and we are old. We all admit that. If we don't figure out a way to get young blood in here, mm-hmm. How much longer? I mean, and that just means, you know, maybe they don't want to be on stage. I go to other productions and I look at the acclimates in the program for all the people on set, on costume, on sound, on promotions, on everything. And then you look at one of our shows and you can count them on one hand, mm-hmm. You know, the back supporters. Go ahead.
You know, so I'm going to throw a sports analogy in because I haven't done that in a long time.
Ooh, yeah.
But this, you know, it's just like when you got a winning team, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're starting to get a little bit older, but they still can compete, and they're probably still good enough to win that division or win that league. And, you know, well, we got an opportunity to make a trade and maybe get a new player in. No, let's keep the band together. And it just keeps working, and it keeps working until eventually, guess what? Michael Jordan grows up, gets some teammates, and the Bulls blow you out in four games, and you never recover. Mm. And that's what some groups are looking at, to where if you don't, you know, and sometimes it's tough. I mean, sometimes you have to look at some of your experienced players and say, hey, maybe it's time that you take a lesser role and you bring somebody else in who has a skill set that you can develop, mm-hmm. and you can use your abilities to mentor them, mm-hmm. and make them into what we think they can be.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that, and then guess what? Then they've become successful, and everybody's like, oh my gosh, Bob, you did such a great job with this person. How about helping out this person? Mm-hmm. So that person still feels as a part of the group. They're still contributing, and you have another person who has now come in, and you've given them the confidence to lead things, whether it's a show, whether it's a meeting, whether it's the entire organization. You have to make decisions sometimes that aren't fun and aren't good, but that's kind of, you know, if you either grow or you don't.
So you're saying I shouldn't direct every show now?
Oh, well, no, we're never saying that.
Listen to last episode when I think we heard the opposite. Go ahead, Kathleen.
No, I'm agreeing with Ron. I didn't have a point.
Right. No, and that's the thing. So to tie that back to which form is better and which form allows that better, mm-hmm. I'm going to say neither one does. Because one, clubs are inherently somewhat private. Mm-hmm. I mean, by their very nature, you have mm-hmm. to pay something to get inside and be there. So you could say that maybe that's the membership may be holding you back from attracting new people, because mm-hmm. you know, no matter how small that threshold is, it's still a threshold. But on the other hand, likewise, a board needs to find those volunteers too somehow,
mm-hmm.
because mm-hmm. I can't imagine there's a single arts organization board out there that has enough money to hire everybody they need to run a show. If they did, they would be doing the professional show on Broadway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And who knows how many of those are the... Well, what is it when you do the job but you don't get paid?
Oh, interns?
Yeah, unpaid interns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
and billing those...
I frankly have no idea how, except for what I've seen in the producers.
You know,
I have no idea how funding for Broadway works.
You're a member.
I mean, clearly they go out and get their backers.
You know what would be a really nice idea, and maybe it's a small thing, but so you have a show, you have a number of people that were in that show, and then the next show comes up. Inviting some of those people from the prior show, new people, maybe younger people, to be the ushers in the next show and get to watch the show for free. A small thing to maybe mentor them, show them a little bit of the front of the house, let them have a free ticket, you know, to sit in and see the next thing. Just some way to keep them connected, you know. Go ahead, Bob.
Okay. How about, as an idea, in order to maintain the engagement, the directors or board members all sign Christmas cards saying, thank you for doing it. Here's our next one. And then put in the newsletter and the website for your special gift for the Christmas. Go to this link and download this file, which is the card with a, hey, thank you for everything that you did. We really appreciate it. And put something directly to them, like, when we did the show, you were great helping with the kids, and I really appreciate you. Mm-hmm. Here's, you know, download the Christmas card.
Yeah. I mean, personalizing it is always
personalizing it,
yes, that's yes, where it's just not an acclimate, but something specific that goes a long way. But that takes time and effort and people to.
But you can do it beforehand, mm-hmm. and it's, especially if it's something that can be downloaded, you could put it up. I don't care if you put it up on John McClane's birthday and from Die Hard. What was his name?
John McClane.
John McClane.
Yeah, John McClane.
Or Bruce Willis. Yeah.
We'll just start calling July 25th John McClane Day.
Okay.
Okay.
Welcome to the party, pal. Come out to the coast. We'll have some fun. I don't
have
know.
Have a few laughs. No,
yeah, she knows better than I do. Oh, I love it. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I don't know if that answers the question.
I don't either. That's what I, and that's, it is the biggest question mm-hmm. we have. Mm-hmm. And I probably not just our group. Well, okay. Other than where to put speakers. It's the biggest question we have. I just don't know what the answer is, because I can say I think we know of one person in the last, when did we do Twilight? Well, that was January 22. Okay. And we've had people in and out since that show, but I can't think of anyone except one person in that show that has stuck around. Mm. And we have done a lot of different shows and a different variety of shows as well. Now, I've seen a couple that have now stuck around for two shows, Anti-Heroes and now the other, Christmas Pageant. But then the question is, how do we, and you mentioned ushering.
Ushering, front of the house.
But in a theater like ours, in a studio like ours, is ushering a thing?
Well, I wouldn't even call it ushering. And we have a house that seats only about 81 people, mm-hmm. based on the number of chairs we actually have. but the what we don't need really ushers, but we do need hosts of some sign.
Yeah,
perhaps.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, come on in, find a seat, and we have general seating, so it's like any open seats free to sit there. And here's your program, and thank you.
Well, even just, you know, in a sense, I don't want to say like a greeter, like Walmart or anything, but a greeter. I mean, someone that says, yeah. Oh, thank you, you know.
We could actually use them to walk around the mall and say, hey, you want to come in and see this?
But I mean,
well, that idea was thrown out at one time.
Was it?
It was suggested.
Well, I think at the core of this, too, is it, as far as getting younger, newer people involved, is the shows themselves. Mm-hmm. So the question for me is always, how do I find a play, a script that I'm going to want to present that younger people are going to be attracted to? Mm-hmm. That's the question, because I know, you know, when I was teaching high school and working with the high school theater, there were tons and tons of kids who loved doing theater. Those kids are still out there. Mm-hmm. They're young adults. But why aren't they come? It's not like they don't have time, because I know, well, you know, some of them maybe have an issue with that, but a lot of them have nothing else to do with themselves, kind of, and they loved theater. Mm. So it's got to be the titles, the scripts that need to bring them in.
Go ahead, Ron.
Where do I find a script?
Well, it reminds me of something that one of my old district managers once told me, is that the people that work don't work for the company. They work for you.
They work for
That's you. What they want to do.
That's why people leave.
And I think that, you know, all organizations have to look at that and say, okay, if that's the case, because, I mean, I can think off the top of my head, there's a good chunk of people that only show up if certain people are involved. Mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. and that's true for everybody. I mean, true. I'm not single, and that's for every group, every, you know, if when you look at something, oh, I know that person, I'll go do this or whatever. Mm-hmm. But there are certain members of our organization that will not set foot in a building unless certain people are running or involved in a production. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how we reach those people, but I think that's where we run into is I don't necessarily know if we have a PR problem, but I think that we need to figure out a way to get people to come to see Monroe Community Players and not Kathleen McPhee or Brian Burchett Ross, you know,
because that's what I've run into the last two shows I've directed is I needed people of a certain age, younger people, and it's like I could count on people that I've always worked with showing up, but I said, but I don't know the young people anymore.
Right.
I leaned heavily on my assistant director who used to be in the schools and other people who had connections with the younger generation that just frankly, I'm 40 years removed from.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just the point that you made at a prior meeting about how many people are looking at our website. You know, they're looking to buy tickets. They're looking at our auditions. Piggyback that with Carol's. I mean, people are looking for shows they want to do. Those are your actors. Could we include in our audition form of what we're looking for tech? We're, you know, this is going to be heavily sound or this, you know, lighting, or are you interested in set construction? Are you interested in costumes and makeup? Here's some other things that are going to be part of this show to get people, because not.
But
you
I
can't
think
just
that
have people
is
on stage.
The audition forms.
No,
I'm on the website.
On the website.
I'm on the website.
And there's
on the
a website, pile of
right,
them on the front counter too.
Right with the audition form that this show is going to be heavy this way, and get some of those people that might not be stage people, but maybe their friend is like, hey, I'm interested in doing the show, but there also is going to be this tech area
here.
Oh, just a thought.
Here's the issue. and it's not an issue, but it's, again, you also out there, and this is a bit of a tangent, is you have to understand your webmaster is not a mind reader. Unless you tell that person, here's what this show is involved, all the webmaster knows is here are the characters and here are the character descriptions. And sometimes in this case it's a he, has to look them up himself because the director hasn't given him diddly squat.
And it's been 8 months before something's been...
I'll get that for you from Becky soon.
and I'm not complaining about any individual, but for the webmaster to say, here's the stuff that I know. Mm-hmm. So we've got to remind the directors, you need to tell us what your vision is so that we can articulate it to other people through other means.
Right.
And because the reality is the website is only as powerful as the information that goes in.
And piggybacking off of that, I was running the website for a while, and the biggest frustration came from older than I members who would say, well, this isn't on the website. I say, well, did you give me a copy of it? Mm-hmm. No, you're in charge of the website.
And you're not a mind reader.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's a fair point.
And it's not just the website, frankly. We get as many views, if not more, from our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But again, Facebook appeals to a certain clientele. Right. If we want to reach out to some people, we need to be on TikTok. However, TikTok is not designed to promote things like a play or auditions. You know, it's designed for these quick little funny things that they do. Funny things that are done on it. It's the best time waster that anyone's ever come up with because you just keep scrolling through it.
I'm thinking of the little thing we did for Bench of the Sun. I mean, that would be something that would fit TikTok. No? Yes?
Or the video?
The video.
It would, but then again, you got to figure out, you know, these algorithms are everywhere. You got to figure out who's going to actually get, who's for your page is it going to actually show up on? You know, three old people sitting on a bench talking. It may not trigger anything to say, okay, go show this to, you know, this 20-year-old here who's scrolling through looking for whatever.
But if we had one of them do a pratfall, That would get the views.
Maybe.
Look at a shoe.
Well, and like I say, I'll be the first to say that I don't fully understand I understand TikTok's powerful, but when we tried to sign up for TikTok, well, some of our younger members did this, they got a few things out, but then it stopped because, again, you need that constant content. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can't just stop. And again, I'm not sure if that actually brought a single person into the group. Because again, TikTok's not really designed to bring people to things. It shows things. Facebook isn't, none of them are really designed for what we need them to do.
Mm-hmm. My question is,
I think if we can at least expand back into Instagram, that might be some step forward.
Instagram. My question is, why? And again, maybe because we're not using the right forums, but why can't we or any group, if you're looking for young members, actually put in on your website or on your Facebook page, hey, you young people, what shows? Hey, you over there, get off my lawn. But but ask them, what are some of the shows you would like to see Monroe Community Players do or your organization do? And maybe that would, because we don't know. We're in a whole different, thing.
But actually, we do know that a lot of people are asking for The Odd Couple, Brian.
And Six.
And Arsenic and Old Lace.
Well, I'll be the curmudgeon here. You know what the answer is going to come back mean?
It's going to be a musical.
It's going to be Wicked.
Yeah. Oh.
It's going to be a musical, and it's going to be a musical that's not available.
Yeah, all right. Get off my lawn.
But that's the thing. There's and I'm not going to say that because I just made a generalization of young people, but I'm not sure that they know what they want to do yet.
Yeah.
Right. Until we present something, they maybe no one out there knew they wanted to do anti-heroes.
Mm.
For example.
Right.
Once we got them dragged in by the any way I could.
We didn't let them go.
They loved it. They enjoyed it. Their friends came and saw it. It was a sellout 3 times in a row, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they didn't know that that's what they wanted to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They all know they want to do Beauty and the Beast. that I think is the real issue is how do you present something and make people understand you want to be in this show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And frankly, especially in our case where we're not doing a lot of music, we're not doing any musicals right now. Mm-hmm. The dramas, mm-hmm. We can pick shows with young people in them,
mm-hmm.
but I think that's the next step, which is getting away from our whole membership idea.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's better to be members or whether it's better to be board driven. I think it's fine to be either. Though I'm starting, and maybe I always have, lean a little against the whole concept of true membership.
Mm.
I'm not saying we should change our whole structure, but I think the mentality has to change. We got to stop thinking about it as a club and start thinking about it as our number one job
business.
Is to put on shows.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, that's our product.
Mm. Our product is our shows.
But why can't we have both?
Mm. Well, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have some fundraising in there, too.
Fundraising.
Though. Theatrical way.
So there's always that group saying we need to do a potluck for the members.
Mm-hmm.
And has a potluck ever let us put on a better show?
And I think our attendance in those kind of things has been dwindling.
Right.
So, I think that's just an indicator that they are not what people are looking for. If you want to get involved with theater, you don't want social garbage.
Yeah, well, and I can't speak for everybody, but when I was younger, frankly, I wanted a potlucks.
Yeah.
Not because I liked bringing the food or anything, but I needed a good party.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And it was a chance to get out and meet people that weren't my family.
And Roxanne always brought out this roast pork dish that was just incredible.
Yeah. But now that I'm older, I'm just as content to go back and sit with my family.
Mm.
So again, is there something okay, maybe I said something funny. I didn't realize it. But maybe so maybe that's the question. How do you strike that balance? Is there something
I missed it too, Dave. I don't know.
I have no idea.
It's
these kids.
Probably had something to do with young people.
We bring you kids along and look how you behave. Now we're going to, don't make me stop and put the.
The put idea this. That a potluck is a good party.
Well, okay.
I didn't say which pot, now did I?
Same sentence.
Carol, you know we were desperate for any kind of fun in the 80s.
Oh, my God.
No, sir, I was at some good parties. And I'm not sure there were potlucks.
And I'll admit that the good parties happened after the show, the cast party. But it was I was looking for the social interaction.
Yeah, I know what you were.
But now it's like, yeah, I'm fine sitting home watching the latest episode of Monarch Legacy of Monsters or something.
I agree with you.
Yeah. I think the other thing, if you look at the upcoming shows that we have on our docket,
you're not getting invited to the next spot.
I'll tell Roxanne.
It's going to be a roaring good time.
I'll bring a potluck. We'll have a good party.
Oh, if you look at what we've got coming up, I mean, they're older shows. I mean, we're still in the, you know, I don't think younger people are scrolling going, where is Steel Magnolias going to be playing, or where is Moonlight and Magnolias there?
Well, okay, let me play devil's advocate for a second on that. Yeah, you're kind of right there, but...
It is our season of Magnolias.
I know, I'm not arguing it's a great season.
But, you know, Steel Magnolias does have at least two young female characters. I think, and no one says, even though, you know, it might say it in the script, but Magnolias and... Moonlight and Magnolia, or what? Magnolia and Moonlight. Those three guys don't have to necessarily be in their 40s, 50s, 60s. Mm. Who's to say a director couldn't cast a bunch of 20-year-old guys as the leads?
Because that would be wrong.
Yeah.
I saw that coming. I did see that coming. I agree
with
you.
There's too many 60-year-olds that need to be cast in that
need
one.
To be in there. But I agree with you.
But that's the thing. If we're only doing shows that we want to do,
right,
we're not going to attract the young people.
Well, and I think that the thing is, too, you don't want just a play with young people in it. You want a play that has young people issues. Mm. And what young people today are dealing good with point, and what they point. Can relate to mm-hmm. and what is important to them, mm-hmm. which it's not Steel Magnolias.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I mean...
Unless you're diabetic.
Yeah. But I mean, it's got to be not just a show with young people. It's got to be a young people's show.
Yes, something that's relevant.
All right, so yes.
To the age group. And we were all there once. We know what the concerns are. We just...
Wait, are you telling
so
me...
different than was when we were young.
Are you telling me that these kids today do not want to know how Gone with the Wind came to be? I don't get that.
It's a workplace drama comedy.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
It's Will and Grace.
Minus the game.
With
Bob. God, no. Will and Grace has been off the air too long. Mm.
It's in reruns on the USA Network.
The what?
The Scream. USA Network.
The Network.
I know, Network.
Fine. Is there still networks out there?
No. Is it on Apple TV?
Hulu. It's on Hulu.
Oh,
okay. It is on Hulu. Okay.
All the
but that's the original Hulu. One, not the last.
The new one I believe might be on Paramount or Peacock. HBO or maybe Peacock.
But anyway, I your point I think is valid. I just think we need to find a better, a more current.
So it's going to pass.
Well, and we're going to have to stop there because unfortunately we're running kind of short in time, and I want to hear about Gutenberg.
Yes.
So thank you all for the conversation. I know we went from a tangent from membership into how to attract younger
us
going younger to people.
Dave loves a good potluck.
So we
good party.
We did learn that.
So we maybe we'll have to revisit this topic, because it certainly did hit a couple nerves here. So that's good. So Brian, 50 words or less, Gutenberg.
Thanks, Dave. It was great.
Okay.
I can't wait to go see it.
I'm telling you, Gutenberg, the best musical ever. Not really, but it was a hysterically funny musical. Of course, it was at the James Earl Jones Theater, which used to be the Court Theater until they just renamed it. I have to say though, and it is absolutely hilarious. James Earl Jones actually starts off by coming on to his voice comes on. His voice comes on, and he does the "This is James Earl Jones. Oh, you might remember me with my greatest line ever. I am your father." And then he'll say, "Please turn off your da 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 da," which, you know, and then he does something right in the middle of it, like something to the effect of, "Please, no flash photography. And remember, Simba." And then he does this, you know, a line from that, and which, you know, made the audience. And then at the very end, and I just loved it because you think he's done. He goes, "Thank you and enjoy the show. This is CNN." <It's> like, so that kicks you off in a good mood to begin with. The musical itself stars Josh Gad and Andrew Rannells, two very, very well-established actors, both on Broadway and in movies and TV. Both of them were a huge hit on the original Book of Mormon. And honestly, this show works because of them. It's the only way I think this show truly, truly works is because of their chemistry. They have a Hope Cosby, Martin Lewis sort of chemistry that you just, they enjoy playing off each other. You could tell many times, a couple times, there was a Corman Conway sort of thing going on, because you could tell one of them would say something that the other one wasn't expecting, and there was those little giggles in the side, which was entertaining. The story itself is about these two guys who decide they want to write a musical about the printing press and the Gutenberg Bible. So they need to impress producers. So they have hired out the theater that we're in, which James Earl Jones Theater, in hopes, and promote this musical in hopes that there is a producer out there that will pick it up and run with it. So that's the entire thing. Two men play all these parts, and it's so funny, and I'll be sending you a picture of the set, but it's a very plain set, except there's a big table in the middle, and when they reveal what's on the table, it's baseball caps. But each baseball cap has the name of one of the characters. So they're going through and they're putting one cap on to the next. They're performing four caps at one time. I have never seen a kick line with baseball caps before, but it is amazing, people. I thought Korn was great, which, you know, shuck, but no, this was even better. The music is good. I'm not sure there was anything that was truly memorable. But it was well worth it because of these two actors. Now, I don't know if community theater could do it because, well, I don't know if the same script that they use would be sent out touring or community theater, because there are a lot of inside jokes about other theaters on Broadway. There's a lot of inside jokes about other theater actors on Broadway. So I'm not sure if it would really, but I think sometimes they, you know, they utilize that and then maybe send a different script if they're going to do it touring or something. Maybe they take that stuff out a little bit more. I will say at the end, we had the privilege, we had the privilege of seeing, they sing the song at the end, "We Eat Dreams," and then the audience, they want the audience to sing "We Eat Dreams Too." It's kind of a running joke. And then they say, "Okay, just the men." So the men sing it. "We eat dreams, we eat dreams too. Now the women, da da da." And then the joke, the punchline is supposed to be, "Now all the producers." And they're supposed to wait to see who sings it, because that's what they're looking for. Well, from what I've read, the joke is no one sings it. But during the holidays, and we were there around Thanksgiving, they had special guest stars coming in who pretended to be producers. The night before us was Martin Short and Steve Martin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow. We got Idina Menzel.
Oh, my God.
She was amazing. And you know what? Speaking of something we talked about two episodes ago, that woman in that huge theater did not need a microphone. She belted out I Eat Dreams 2, and it just echoed. So that was the next added bonus. I loved Gutenberg the musical. Not sure if it would work in a community theater thing. But if you had the right two actors.
Right.
I think so.
Which is, isn't that true for any show?
Well, sure.
You got to have the right cast.
Is it a show that you have to be a real theater geek to appreciate?
It helps. We were with two people, my husband's two family members, sister and cousin. They really enjoyed it, but they admitted there were several references they didn't get. Yeah. And they didn't even know who Idina Menzel was. So when everybody jumped up and was screaming, they're like, what are we doing? What are we doing here? But so, yeah, it's a little bit, it's a very theater intense.
Excellent.
And it is a musical?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a musical.
Okay. Well, wonderful. Thank you, Broadway Brian. We appreciate that. And we'll ask you for another one the next episode we have. So that's great. So, folks, unfortunately, we have run out of time. I know you think we won't have any time to run out of because it's just us. But like you, we have rehearsals to get to. So I'd like to thank each and every one of you out there for listening. We appreciate that you're in the green room and giving us the support that you and I'm sorry, they're doing shenanigans behind my back.
Right in front of you.
Right in front of me. Give us, so not only the support you give us, but the support you give in keeping theater alive in your communities. We also appreciate feedback and conversation from you, so be sure to visit our Facebook page for more fun and look for the Monroe Community Players podcast. Emails may be sent to mcppodcast@monroecommunityplayers.org. And to keep up with the latest shows and activities of MCP, just go to MonroeCommunityPlayers.org. We generally release 2 episodes a month. Please take a moment to subscribe, like, rate, whatever you need to do to let other people know that you like this podcast. Share the direct links. Mention us on Facebook. You know, we love to get the word out there to everybody that we're here supporting community theater just like you are. And the art and business of community theater is presented by Monroe Community Players, recorded at the Monroe Public Access Podcast Studio high atop the Benish Building in historic Monroe, Michigan. And our question of our show is, are you a social club that does theater or a theater group that has social activities? For the love of theater, we are the groupies, and we will see you where else but the green room. Well, that almost worked.
That was bad.
I didn't give the warning.
Well, goodbye. And don't think it hasn't been a little slice of heaven.